Off the Ball, GAA.
Reportedly that Brian Fenton has retired. The thing is, he's just 31. While he may be just 31, it's a decade, an unbelievable decade with the Dubs.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod Club on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB. Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football, Ladies Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. I'm just wondering, boys, do we need to come up with a new name for this podcast? We're heading into season 5 next year and we'll be looking at a very different game than we've been analysing for the last couple of years.
It's all change. Finally.
Yeah. You're an ideas guy, Paddy. What would you call the new version of the Football Pod?
Oh, jeez. I wouldn't have called this the Football Pod at the start. I did say
that. Hey, I think it's...
You went away, you'd creative license, came back like a month later and said, I've got a name for it. What are you calling it? The Football Pod, for fuck's sake.
Well, it was better than the Paddy and Andy Pod, because we would have had to drop the...
Oh, I didn't fancy that one either. That, if that was your only two things that you came up with...
That
was...
But you did call it that. You called it the Paddy and Andy Pod for the first couple of months, didn't you? You did. You did.
Oh, we did, Jimmy.
Maybe this somebody
was,
else
we got off. So we got off to a rocky start with Tommy. I was like, Tommy, we need some creative design in here.
I think it's good now, Football Pod.
I like it too. It's grown on me.
James. I'll tell you what, do you know what's great about this pod today? So I don't have to drive 10 hours to do it.
It's been a while since we've been all been on here, hasn't it? Like, just doing it from the comfort of our home.
The mileage that I have put down is frightening.
I tell you one thing.
And I'm hanging in there on penalty points.
You're on 11 points for the last 2 years.
In fairness.
If that man had
if I indicate too early, I'd be off the road.
You're gone. Jimmy, you need a chauffeur. Can Off the Ball sort out a chauffeur for Jimmy?
No, he's a good passenger, I'll give you that much. He's a good passenger.
I fucking know that. I've been luring him around the country myself.
6 hours in the car. I don't think we got the radio on once, James. I think the two was
the deep dive. Yeah, we did. We got down into the nitty gritty.
We've one more road. We've one more trip this year now, this side of Christmas. And I'm going to be doing the mileage there now, so.
And are you sure we can't strong arm you into a Christmas party after it?
Lads, yeah, I would love
there
to.
Has to be a Christmas party afterwards. Come on.
I told you this.
There's 3 pints inside in Dan and his bar waiting for you. I can see they have it up behind the bar.
I'd love to. I've got to get back. I'm back in one day. Doreen is out with her Christmas party that night. So we've got to come back and get the little fella.
Okay.
It's poor planning by me, I know. If you move the date, which I was pushing for, I'm all in. Well, but we've been down that road.
What if we, hypothetically, just putting it out there, and we'd all have a full day of work the next day and a Football Pod Club. What if we had our Christmas party the night before the recording?
It would be a good recording then. Not a word said. Hello, welcome.
Tempted. I've got you tempted.
But now you are an ideas guy.
Okay.
Wow. I never.
Let's sit on that one. Okay. Let's sit on that
one. I'm going to leave that. That could work. Like I said, the quality of the output the next day will be poor. could work.
I've been practicing my off the mark for the old sprint race 2.0 in Killarney.
I was robbed in Killarney that night.
We have to redo that. We have to redo that. Okay, right. Let's get in.
I'll leave that with you. Anyway, other stuff did happen in the GA calendar this weekend.
Yes, we're going to get back to the fact that we will be looking at a totally different sport in 2025 in a moment.
Enhancements.
Exciting. But first, let's just give a little mention to a couple of big results of the weekend. Coola became the first side in Leinster to win a hurling and a football Leinster title.
And then
Fianna did a trick an hour later.
For 1 hour.
When they won the hurling. Con O'Callaghan was ridiculous for a large part of this game, but he needed his buddy Luke Keating to dig him out. Keating kicked the winner late on into a hill that was very difficult in the first half. St. Mary's struggled to score in the first half. It was 1-6 to no score after 22 minutes. It looked like it was going to be an absolute
whitewash, didn't it?
They started off absolutely... They pressed the kickouts and they were wide open at the back.
Mm. But then, goals, second half. it's level with 10 minutes to play, and they were right in it. And the loud side were very, very unlucky not to dig something out. But Conn looked pretty awesome in that first half. James, did you see much of Conn?
I saw him all.
At that level, he can be, Conn. Jesus.
But it is, for someone like that, you have to put serious provisions in place against them. Like, one-on-one with a very good man marker is not enough at club level either, because they're going to hand him the ball. Like, it has to be a defensive system to mind them. Any team going forward, if they're to beat Kula, they just have to worry about Conn.
Well, they will be going to face the Giant Slayers, you could say. The team that have been written off.
This is some story here. Like,
there's been slurs against them all over the place. You know, actually, you know, that they're too defensive. It's been all over the place. But, and I want to just give it to them this way. They know how to party in Clara Strand Hill. Did you see this from their star player, Niall Murphy, putting up a Revolute Me on Twitter earlier on? I don't know whether somebody got a hold of his phone, but it's, please fund the Clara Strand Hill Monday Club. And he's had hundreds of quid landing in throughout today.
That's a great show.
It's genius.
That's a great show.
I don't know if
how was that to happen before?
What? The actual Miriam O'Callaghan, but a Miriam O'Call has made a hefty donation to the fund as well. So they've been having a bit of crack with that all day. But that
not
is
off the back of, like, Damien Duff funded the Shelburne celebrations at Revolut as well. Is that where this
that
came
comical.
From?
That was comical.
500 pub.
Oh, and it rang out. I didn't even go to voicemail. I just kept ringing for 10 minutes. Oh, that was brilliant.
Well, the lads got a few quid out of us, so they had a good night. But that is a great show. Revolut Me. Jeez, they'd be crying for a month.
We might make a donation from the football pod here. I'll throw them something.
Throw them a few bob from the pod.
Yeah, exactly.
What a result.
Take it out of my mileage. For
It's your toll
that
money.
That mileage is going to fund your Christmas.
It's your toll money.
Christine is going to have a good Christmas.
They honestly, like, you're coming up against Pádraig Pearse's side that have been building and growing and taking down the All-Ireland runners-up, St. Bridget's and Roscommon. They've been here in Connacht before over the last couple of years. They beat Cara Finn, when they weren't fancied. And yet, Clara Strand Hill, who were kicking 7 or 8 points in their Sligo Championship games, they just about got over the line after a replay against St. Molas Gaels and Sligo. They squeaked through, and yesterday they taken the extra time and they beat them. Some of the scores were off the charts. The equaliser laid on by their midfielder from about 50 yards out. Give them 2 points for that, 100%. It was an absolute belter. But absolutely great story, and a real mix in that team as well. You've got Ross O'Carroll, Rory's brother, centre back, Paddy, for Clara Strand
Hill. Strand Hill? I didn't know that. Is he?
You missed it. You're sleeping on this.
Oh, I didn't see Rosser. Jesus.
Yeah, so he's manning it there, centre back. And
great fella. Great, good crack though. Jesus. If he's on that session, that'd be a good session, all right.
Really? He was involved with G for a good while, was he?
Early days. He had a lot of bad injuries. I would have marked him a couple of times with Crokes in the early days as well. Like, so he was a great hurler as well.
Yeah,
but like, if you're a part of Pearse's in that side, like, talk. We spoke about this. Was it with Conor McManus and Rory Began around? You getting there with a club, you might not get many opportunities, and you've got to just make the most of it. So Strand Hill have done that incredible stuff into an All-Ireland semi-final, first Sligo team in what, over 40 years to win the Connacht Championship. But Pádraig Pearse's, after doing the hard yards, Tommy, you said it, beating Bridget's to take out Cara Finn, which no one really fancied them. He just thought, surely, you know, that phrase is slam dunk in the Connacht final, but they will be kicking themselves today. But what a story for Strand Hill. So they'll have a good Christmas.
They'll be
flat. So semi final is the 6th of January.
6th of January, they'll have a quiet Christmas. That is an unbelievable window.
Yeah.
Because everyone down here was thinking that Pádraig Pearse's were going to be.
Never thought Cara Finn initially.
Mindlessly.
You went into the Connacht Championship.
Yeah, once Cara Finn were gone, it was like, there's a good crowd coming in Connacht here, but.
Yeah.
Geez, like, the big teams just keep falling and falling and falling and falling.
In fairness, though, Pearse's had earned their credentials. Like, they've had Ross
that's what I mean.
Coaching with them, doing so well. Frank Canning, Joe's brother, over them. They have the Dailies. They have this lad, keep an eye on him with Roscommon next year. Declan Kenny playing fantastic as well. Paul Carey's been brilliant. But Clara Strand Hill, just the performance yesterday was unreal. And also, you got to give it to them as well for celebrations. We had a comments box open on Instagram as well. David Sheridan got in touch. Please talk about Clara. And then Niall Murphy in touch as well. Clara... .. defensive football... .. giddy up.
I was seeing all this. Who was saying they were defensive?
Brawley, apparently, and a few others. I don't know who
else. Brawley. No matter what happens, Brawley gets it.
In fairness, like, you probably couldn't blame him looking at the results. And I think they had set up pretty defensively against Ballina. But, you
but
know,
I bet you they headed up in the dressing room what everyone was saying about them. So they built the mindset. That's what gets you over the line in some of these things. Just the absolute siege mentality.
That's easy, man. So that style playing the first week of January as well. So remember, it was the last year. It was the Crokes Glen semi-final. You couldn't fucking see the game in the fog.
Oh, yeah.
Reckless.
Conditions are not great on January 5th and 6th. So keep an eye on that one. Jeez.
I could not call who's going to win the All-Ireland. Like, it's an absolute lie. That's why it's so hard to win. It's like, you have to be so on it all the time because teams are just going out like they're willing to die for it. It's so hard to get to that intensity constantly.
Leaning towards Kilcudo, do not think.
But Kilcudo are not for that Ulster final.
I know. But just the experience and the way they play. But then, like, if a club team, that momentum.
If the Canavans catch fire in the Ulster final, like, they could. They could topple Kilcudo.
I know we'll touch on it later, but I'd fancy Kilcudo to win that on Sunday. Yeah. I love Darren Rory Canavan and some magic stuff from them over the last couple of weeks, particularly that semi-final. But I just think with Kilcudo, the way they beat Scotstown, they've been down that road, but they're a really clinical team. Do you know what's similar, Jimmy? I know you don't like them. Croaks, the way Croaks play in the Munster final, that kind of really, not great to watch, but so effective. Smart on the ball, hard to play against. So
it does come down to efficiency, because if you're kicking wide constantly and next thing you're turning, chasing the ball, and teams hand passing it on for 5 minutes, it's demoralizing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you'd think the Kula will be very strong favourites to win that semi. It's Ulster and Munster.
And you've been telling me all year long that you don't fancy this Dr. Croak side.
No, I just said
Jimmy just says that since birth.
I just said that Tommy needed to pull his pants up after he saw them play once. He was absolutely obsessed with him. This kick one score that had two kicks in it. And he was like, oh my God, this is the greatest team that's ever played.
Jimmy, you just can't give Croaks any credit, can you?
No, I can't. They're playing very well.
And he just won't give it to you.
No, they are playing very well. They're a very good side. Very efficient, clinical, great manager in Pache. Great.
I've watched them twice, and that's the vibe I'm getting from them. Impressive, to be fair to them.
I think, like, at the moment, and we're coming to the end of it, but at the moment, it's just the smartest teams, the cutest ones.
That's what I'm saying. You're disagreeing with me.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that they're not given to win the Ulster, is what I'm saying. You just never know.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying. It's so hard to call, but it is the smartest teams. Where I don't know, will that be the case next year?
Yeah. Yeah, it's also worth mentioning. Sorry. So you mentioned the All-Ireland shake-up there, right? So you have got the Ulster against Munster semi-final, and then the other side you got Coote against Clare Strandhill. The Derry boys in Sloch Neil have some opportunity to win an hurling All-Ireland title here as well. Shane McGuigan was off the charts yesterday in the second half. In the Ulster final, it was Brendan Rodgers. I think he hit 5 points from play. He's playing full forward. McGuigan's playing in the half back line for Sloch Neil. They were
Who did they play in the semis, T?
They play Sarsfields, who overturned Ballygunner yesterday.
That was a big
9 to 1. The odds were 9 to 1.
9 to 1, the Cork hurling champions. That's complete bollocks.
They lost the final to Imokilly, so they were through by virtue of being the last club team in it, as happens.
Still, like, what's the hurling final?
Yeah.
A big, massive Cork team, 9 to 1. Come on.
That was crazy stuff. That is strange. Ballygunner are Ballygunner like they've been.
Ballygunner.
Ballygunner 17 points the year before that in Munster. So, just goes.
But their record in the All-Ireland series isn't great, Ballygunner. Like, have they won one?
One. Well, that was it.
That famous one against Ballygunner.
And they're in it constantly. They're in the round it.
Yeah. Okay.
The year of the upsets, lads. The year of the upsets.
That is it.
If you were to call it now, who's going to win the football? You're saying Kilcudo, Paddy.
I'd cool it down.
Looking at it now, it's a Kula Kilcudo final in Croker. That'll suit Kilcudo, that running game. Hard to play. They've been there, they've won it before. But Kula, the king in Croke Park is hard to stop. But Kilcudo, with that, there's a team that can really shut them down. You think it would be them? But I'd love to see Kula with it. I'd love to see it. Big Mick, Fitzy, add to his collection. But
did they come up from Senior B? Was it last year?
They bet us in the Senior B final.
I know they're going to be in the All Ireland senior final. That is incredible.
All Ireland club. So it'll be some going. It's obviously can have won two with the hurlers. Jesus Christ, it'll be some going. So, but I'd say Coola Kilcoo final. At the minute, maybe Kilcoo slight favourites. But I see that could look at the way the results have been going. That could change. Kilcoo could be gone on Sunday. Absolutely. You don't know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Two big games this weekend. We'll keep an eye on them.
Is it, which one is Saturday night? Is there a game Saturday night?
I think.
Are they both Sunday? Sunday?
I think they're both Sunday, but I'll double check that in the next 10 seconds. I want to move on to Saturday and Special Congress. Unprecedented scenes and ways, and the fact that everything was literally voted through. Paddy, how did Jim Gavin do this?
I think, take it from the top, I think Gerald Burns deserves massive credit. You know, we've had a bit of crack on this pod about GAA presidents and administrators, that it can be a bit of a figurehead position. But to be fair, one of the very first things he did, he's a man of action. He came in and he's like, right, first thing I want to do, we need to fix Gaelic football. And when this all came out and the FRC was announced and Jim was going to head it up and Fitzmaurice and Malik O'Rourke and these guys were involved, I definitely was sceptical about what impact they could actually have. You know, one, to kind of come up with proposals, what sort of work was going to go into that. Then to actually try and bring it to Congress and try and get all of this stuff through. But in the space of, 10 months from Gerald Burns initiating this, one of the very first things he did, deserves incredible credit. Jim, to be fair to him, he doesn't do willy-nilly. If he puts his name to something and if he buys into something, he's gonna make a serious proposal and put in unbelievable work. And from chatting to people on the committee at different stages throughout the year, they put in a shitload of work around this, which was brilliant. I think it helped that a lot of the games we seen, while this committee was speaking and little bits and bobs were coming out, like, the games were not good, lads. We've all been on this pod for the last 4 or 5 years watching some of the biggest games with some of the biggest teams, and it's been fucking diabolical, really. You know, so that, like, you look at the All-Ireland final, unbelievable pairing. Oh my, what an opportunity for these teams. And it wasn't a great game, you know, and these are the biggest, these are the flagship games. So I think that
even the timing, Paddy, even the timing of some of the club championship games, they were around the time that all the rules were being announced. And next thing, people were like, I'm not sure. And next thing, there was like a couple of club championship games. And they were 4-all. And it was like, oh, just bring everything in. Just bring everything in.
The weekend of the Interpros, that it was the Friday and Saturday night. And we kind of got a big, that was a great, I think, idea to put it out there and let the public see it.
Yeah.
And then I remember on the Sunday watching the Dublin Championship final with Coola and Kilmacock Crokes. I know the weather was bad, but Jesus Christ, like, talk about adverts for change in the game.
Yeah.
So I think the perfect storm came along there. It had gotten so bad that there was a will across the entire organization. You know, players, coaches, media, administrators, we need to change something.
Yeah.
But for them to, so that helped. The work they put in deserves massive credit, everyone on that committee. But for them to get everything through, all the rule changes, and not just get them through. I mean, you were there, Tommy. Like, they're over 90% on all of these. To get that universal buy-in, thinking of things, that bringing stuff to Congress, and the old traditional GAA mindset, you know, we don't like change, but they managed to sell these proposals to everyone in the country.
Yeah.
And it's incredible, really. But you know what? I see it come through, everything got in, and my reaction was, I was delighted. I'm intrigued. I can't wait to see the first couple of weekends of the National League. Anyone we've spoke to, we've been obviously around the country talking to people involved in the GAA the last month or two. I think there's excitement there. Things needed to change. And there's a buy-in, clearly, from everyone in the GAA in Gaelic football to do this. So I think it's brilliant. Whether they'll all still be there, the fact that they've given themselves a bit of a buffer, they might tweak one or two of them, even by the time the championship comes around next summer. But I think it's exciting for Gaelic football. I think it needed to happen. It had gotten to a place where, and it was only going the one way, lads. Like, the reality was, what brought success to teams, what was working, was that shitty style of play to watch. It was really effective. And if you're a team, you were going to play that way because that gave you the best chance of winning. So drastic change was needed, and they've got it through and they've managed to sell it. Jim Gavin and everyone on that committee deserves massive credit, and Jarlett Burns and everyone who voted for it. Because you could easily say, no, I don't want change. I'm happy the way things are. But they've taken a risk, which is not something you'd normally associate with GAA administration. And I think it's great.
Yeah, there were 260 delegates in the room, James. So when you're crunching the numbers there and the votes are in the high 90s, there was five or six people. I wonder, was it the same five or six consistently voting no? We only heard from two people who's not even spoke against it, but offered debates on the floor. There was a Sligo delegate who had a number of questions around, you know, whether we were making the right change or the type of change or would it suit underage and so on and so forth. And it was dealt with on the floor and Gavin kind of responded to it. And then there was a Longford delegate who was a referees administrator, and he spoke about the fact that there's 28 referees in Longford, three of them are in their 70s. They have over 1,000 games to administer and they have no idea how they're going to be able to educate them and get them rolled out. So there's a huge amount of work to happen. Pat Tobago Sullivan stood up, Kerry chairman, and he said, to us, the game is dying. It's on its feet. So in Kerry, we will be fully supporting this. Suits Kerry down to the ground, does it, these rules? Or is it just in general?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it suits anyone in particular. Yeah. It suits us. It suits the viewers and the people who love football and who want to watch it. But I don't think that anyone is looking at their group of players thinking these rules are going to suit us for 2 years. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because there's going to be a new group of players after that. But I think the one thing that Jarlett did right was he picked an unbelievable man and team to get it done. In Jim Gavin and Eamon and these fellas. Like, the respect that they have across the country and the ability they have to answer the questions and actually deal with the maybe criticism at times and still still be able to like tell us how good these changes are going to be and actually explain so clearly what they're going to be like. Because if that was someone who was kind of, but if someone, Paddy, was going like, oh, do you know what, I'll come back about that, I'll come back to you, I'm not sure yet. They'd be like, scrush, do you know what, get rid of that. But like, they were so impressive. I think congratulations.
On that point, I have experienced this, and I've spoken with this before. If you are coming at Jim Gavin about something, you want to have your fucking ducks in a row. Mm. If you're asking him or challenging him or a question, and that's why the feedback again from people at Congress.
Give us a live example.
Well, it's just, if you have to trust, I have never seen a person as diligent in like preparing for anything. Like whether it's a match with us, with presentations, he does a lot of stuff, his own professional job in the DAA, or this, you know, the Football Review Committee. If he was going to make a proposal, you better believe there was serious reason, data analysis behind this decision, this proposal. So when I heard of people asking about Congress and he was just batting them away, going, this is why it's happened, here's all the numbers, like, subjectivity does not come into it. It was, here's the facts, this is why this is happening. And if I was dropped or other players would have been dropped on the team and he'd go, you know, I think I should be playing, you'd want to have one of the world's greatest arguments because he put you in your place. So again, and that's credit to Jarlett, that the people he put on that committee, because there was always going to be pushback with this, but they were able to deal with it. And that's a testament to the work they have done. Like talking to Michael Murphy, who was involved in it, he's obviously come off when he knew he's gone back playing.
He officially stepped off.
The work they were doing, like on a weekly basis, every single week of the year, the time that went into it, they took it unbelievably seriously, because it is, it's an unbelievably serious responsibility. But that's also a key part, that it was going to be challenged and they were able to stand over it. And
the work is only really beginning for them now. Like, and the debate is only really going to kick into gear as we start to get evidence as the year goes on. I think that's going to be fascinating to follow.
Well, but the other thing, just on your point, Jimmy, I could not agree more on this. Whatever the changes were going to be, whether this might suit Dublin or might suit Kerry or might suit the way Armagh play or the way Donegal play, the best teams, the best players, the best coaches will figure this out. They will adapt. I don't think it suits any one team over the other. I think now that they're ratified and it's on, the teams will you'll see through the National League, every team is going to get better at this. And they'll figure out what's going to suit the players we have, what's going to tweak our system. I can't wait to see. And the one I was absolutely praying got through was the three up. Because we're forwards, so we're obviously a bit biased. But what it just brings back skills that were kind of being pushed out to the edge of the game. If you're a defender, you have got to be able to defend one-on-one now, which was, you had 10 mates beside you. You could fuck it up and then it's grand. Another 10 lads behind me. If you're a forward, you've got to go and win the ball. Now, Conor McMahon has spoken about this last week on our show. Like, the guys, the loop and kind of hanging around the edges, that might happen, but it's pushed down the queue now. Someone who can pace, win their own ball, take their man on. What an opportunity. And we are going to see, it might not be perfect, but I think we're going to see some brilliant stuff with these changes.
Can I just disagree, right? And James, I my comment was in jest on whether it would suit Kerry in particular, but I do think it will suit certain teams. Like, we look at Donegal straight away and we're like, they're two-point merchants. Look at all the shooters they have from distance. They're immediately going to have an advantage there on, Do Mayo have the same amount of long distance shooters?
Well, I bet you they do, Tommy. Only they're not encouraged to play that way.
Okay. Loads of teams could have shooters, but they don't take these shots.
But yeah, exactly. So teams are coached into playing a certain way, and that's why it needed change, because everyone was going down the same route and it was boring the arse off us. Every single person in the country knew in the back of their mind that football was fucked. Like, it was even after, if you're after winning a big match, and you're after winning a big game and you played great and it was a great game, there's a certain pride in that you were part of that kind of great spectacle in a great game. You come home after winning, 8-7 in an absolutely depressing, low quality affair, you don't get the same buzz off it. It's not the same. Like, even the players want to be involved in these great spectacles. They know that it's not the same.
Do you remember when Eva Crocker at the All Ireland quarterfinal when Kerry bet Derry this year? And everyone, the press box is all Kerry these days. And they're all disgusted. Kevin Ambrose. We're like, this, I was like, you have to fucking win. You're into the semi final. I was like, nah, we can't claim
this. This isn't right.
But if you're Jack O'Connor, and I know Tyke Morley spoke after that, you go and win the game. You go 100%, and win. We did a job. We got into the All Ireland semi final. We've beaten Derry. So you're thinking, I can see that perspective, but we were sitting there in the press box going, like, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah,
we shot. And that was, there's two of the best teams in the country and one of the biggest games, and you're thinking 99% of the people watching, either in the stadium or on television, are going, is there anything else out? Because this is shit.
Shocking, yeah. But like, Tommy, you made a good point about, or was it the Longford delegate said about the referees or Fermanagh?
Oh, yeah, that point.
That's hard.
Like, I do have sympathy for the referees. I think that it's going to be hell for them for 6 months. Like, I definitely am all for this coming into club and county. I did not think that you could come in at intercounty and leave the clubs as it was, because have play two different sports. It would be shocking. It'd be all over.
Imagine talking about it every week.
But that's what a lot of people wanted. That it's like, leave the clubs alone now, and you can see what the intercounty fellas do. Sure, it's just an awful, awful idea. But like, the referees are going to have so much change here in one whack. So they're going to have to be on it. And the amount of decisions and the amount of involvement they're going to have in the game is going to increase.
If anyone gives out to them, they just bring it up 50 metres, though, anyway. So everyone will be afraid of a shot to say it.
True. Will that not just help, though? Will that just not shut up everyone and just say, you just play, like?
It will. There'll be carnage in the stands, but not a word on the field. Absolute riots in the stand.
That first weekend of the National League, I'm looking forward to the couple of players who, because it will happen, they'll be caught out and be given away 50-yard penalties.
Yeah. How far does the scent go? Does it, if you wave, 50. If you kind of throw your arms up, is that like 50?
What if you do it inside the 45? What happens? It's just, they just give you a point.
As far as the 13-meter line, it's a gimme lock.
That's a goal.
It's a free shot.
It's got a goal, yeah. it'd be great to watch.
I'm buzzing for the National League. I can't, and usually the National League takes a while to warm up, and it's kind of like, I'm not sure about this one now, but I am buzzing for
the
National League.
James, just on the referees point, and I want to come back to that, I didn't mean to interrupt you there in the buzzing for National Leagues, but I do think it's short term pain for long term gain with this as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
Like, if we have a cultural shift where you no longer can, you know, complain or give grief, or even cynical fouls are being punished now much more severely. Like, this is an interesting one. If you get fouled inside 40 meters out, like, there might be no need for a black card in a couple of years. If you get fouled within the 40 meter line, going through on goal or whatever, just for anything, you can pull that back to the 40 meter arc and kick a 2-pointer if you want. Like, so is
Well, I
that an
suppose
improved
what
tackling?
I'm
Is that
thinking,
going to improve? So we'll
I
see.
think it, I agree with you 100% that it is short-term pain for long-term gain, no doubt about it. And the referee's job is going to become more important. The thing, I suppose, that if you were a referee, you'd be thinking, I have a lot to worry about here. The 2-point arc, the 3-on-3, how am I going to look over my shoulder and see who's back there? The descent, you know, am I going to turn the place upside down if I do the descent thing? There's just a lot for them to process straight away.
And
But I that doesn't mean I don't agree with it. I do. I think get it all in there. But
at
it's
the club
just going to
level,
be difficult for them.
is going to be, and I think it's the numbers thing. Like, they've brought in a motion to give lines umpires, which is now what they're going to be called, way more power to actually get involved.
More
How long?
umpires.
Lines umpires, the linesmen.
Jimmy, don't say it. Jimmy, edit this out. That way
Where
we
are they
try to
getting
call
all these old
for
fellas?
Hey, James, that's dissent. That's dissent.
Jimmy,
You're
you're
gonna
going to be
sorry,
off
sorry,
the ball.
sorry,
I'm going to
sorry.
start bringing this in as well.
So look at, look at, there are things that are going to be ironed out. And actually, Colm Nally tweeted it a little earlier. They have a training plan in place and an educational plan for referees that's starting this week. And then they're actually going into counties, the FRC themselves, from the 9th of December across the month to, I don't know, give workshops or give some coaching sessions, I believe. So look, that's going to be really interesting. And
Do you
we'll
know what I
keep.
can't wait for, though, Tom? The first time that a team are a point down and the buzzer going down and a fella kicks a 2-pointer to win it by a point. Like, that is going to be some buzz.
Showbiz.
That is going to be showbiz, baby. That, like, come on, like, that's exciting. Even to just think about that, like, imagine the
Outside of the
celebrations.
right. But you know
Oh,
what? They'll
beautiful.
try and work a 1-pointer.
Oh,
They'll try and work.
they
They'll
could
try and
actually,
mind
have massive.
the ball and work a good shot.
One thing is sure, it's certainly going to be really interesting. Have a think, James, is there any other rules that you want to get into? I just have a question for Paddy. 30th of November 2024, Jim Gavin heads up. Now, it wasn't just Jim, but he heads up the Football Review Committee. You have this landslide victory in Croke Park in the Hogan Suite. Do you remember where you were 5 years to the day before that, on the 30th of November 2019?
Jesus, where was I?
Jim Gavin announced to the Dublin squad that he was
I was
stepping
in
out.
London.
You missed it, did you?
I do remember that. Yeah, we found out, geez, probably 20 minutes before everyone else. Yeah.
Really?
Was surprised. Yep. Sad day. Emotional day.
Yeah, you can still feel that, like.
Right. Not as much now, but I remember it now. Jeez, now what you mentioned the exact date, but we'd had a lunch, a kind of a corporate fundraiser thing. Geez, only a couple of weeks before, which we did for the team holiday, and Jim was up talking at that, talking about like National League training and all, and getting the guys back in for January and stuff. So we all there was no wind of it at all, really. And then we got a text that Saturday morning. Yeah, it was like, I'm off. And then it was out 20 minutes later to.
Was there a meeting, or was there a just a
No.
text?
That was it, yeah. And we caught up, obviously, in a couple of days afterwards and stuff. Like, and then we had a big. Who was getting married? Philly McMahon was getting married the next, a couple of weeks later. So we're all kind of together at that. That was kind of the first the major time we'd seen everyone again. Like, no, I was surprised at the time, yeah.
I'm surprised
Looking
you
back now.
didn't get him back at Philly's wedding.
We
With your
learned our
record
lessons
of
from
weddings.
that. We learned our lesson from Philly's gone. If that ever happens again,
We'll get him back.
getting the band back together. But
What was that
looking
in
back,
London? The church.
no, I was over with the was over with the rain just on the weekend, I think. Yeah,
God,
that was
were you
it.
ever
Yeah.
at the church in London?
No, got heavy going, is it?
Oh, it's average. Like fancy dress in this old warehouse.
Oh yeah,
Had it with some crack.
would that be up
Think
your
we'll
track?
have
Oh,
to.
it's on my list now, though. Football Pod does London, January 2025.
Let's make it happen.
We haven't done anything in London is a sin.
London,
I think we need to go to
we're
Manchester.
massive
We've got to go to Manchester.
Manchester. Fucking anywhere, Tommy. Come on. We go anywhere.
I know, 5 seasons. We've got to go international at some stage, don't we?
Yeah.
I'd be over and back to London and over and back again. And I'd say over and back again by the time I'd be up and down with the man in the car. Honestly, it's no skin off my nose at all. If we
were globetrotting there and Holland there a couple of weeks ago at AIB, Jesus Christ, a week long stay.
Oh yeah, how
to play a GAA match like
that was two nights.
You were in Bruges for a European GAA tournament, wasn't it?
In Bruges, we were in Maastricht. It was a very important networking event. Exactly.
Yeah. Grow the game, live golf.
It was an AIB
Gray McDonald.
It was an important trip
that James McCarthy and Conor McManus both said in the football club in the last couple of weeks that you can't have a team bonding session without a load of booze. So did that happen?
That's not true.
They're two old school fellas. We do like that.
Well, you just went bowling, did you?
We did actually go bowling.
Oh.
Jimmy, we did actually go bowling. We went, I swear to God.
You were saying the true WhatsApp, so all there was going to be
okay.
There's a big time difference in Maastricht, you see, that's why I was sending him late.
The altitude was getting to.
Right. Remember I said on the football club with Conor McManus, we go quickfire and I ended up doing 20 minutes. These are actually quickfire. Okay, James, which rule will have the most significant impact? This is coming in from, I don't know what his name is.
Merchant. I think the three up and the three back will have the biggest impact. At the same time, that said, that's not that big a change because that's what we were playing 6 or 7 years ago. Like never, ever when I played did we say we'll get 13 behind the ball, even leave two up. It was always four up.
Yeah.
So this is a really recent thing that needed to be changed. So I think that will be a big one. And I have a second one as well. The goalkeeper getting the ball in the opposition half, I think, is important because if a team wants to push up and go man for man, when it was passed back to the keeper, it was just a bit demoralizing for everyone in the stadium. Everyone had to mark their man, let the goalkeeper have it. Everyone shouting, let him have it, he'll give it away eventually. But like the goalkeepers are getting better and better. Some of them are absolutely outstanding. So I think the fact you can't go back to the keeper in goals is also a big one. They're my two ones I think will make the biggest change.
Okay. Paddy, this one's coming in from McCabe. The handing the ball back rule is going to cause absolute carnage if a free is brought up 50 metres. Fair enough if the player just leaves the ball on the ground, but a player not handing it back to his opponent and for it to be brought up 50 metres isn't right. Do you agree with that? That's coming from Owen McCabe.
I wonder how tightly that will be policed, that one. Because you said it, Jimmy, like the descent. Like there's varying levels of descent. Like if someone's taking the piss, we've all seen it. Yeah, that's 50 metres. But do you remember a couple of years ago, I brought in the closed fist hand pass.
Mm-hmm.
And the first weekend, it had to be a closed fist. And lads were getting pulled. And nothing ever changed. But it was just carnage. And like after 2 or 3 weeks, the refs just said, right, you kind of do away with that. That one in particular, are we going to see someone foul someone? Like the first opening game in the National League, I'd say you might have to stick to that. But by week three or four, like I pull someone down, I'm going to get the ball and hand it back to them. Like, I don't know about that.
Mm.
It's a cultural change, isn't it?
It's a tricky one because you're handing an advantage to them. Like at the moment, you give it back to them as slowly as possible, then stand in the way, then call the ref to distract them to kind of give yourself another couple of seconds, and then you let him take it. So
I think for all that, they'll bring up 50 meters. But if you just leave the ball on the ground, run back, I can't see them giving 50 meters for that. Like, no, yeah. I think there's a variance in that one.
We'll keep an eye on that one. Okay, James, quick one for you. Under these rules, 6'7" Pat O'Coffey Byrne, will he be the full forward of the decade for the Dubs 2.0? You're a man who played beside a fairly tall full forward in your day. Are we going back? Are we going to see one of the three? Is it going to be need for a big full forward? What was the giant from Cork around the same time? Was it Michael
Husson?
Yeah, Husson, wasn't it?
A ball winner is always wanted by a team. I mean, the amount of kicking is going to go on, you'd have to say it would be a massive advantage. That said, it depends how teams defend it. Like, because if it is 3v3, you'd be thinking fellas with legs who can run and make space for each other. But I don't think that a team is just going to leave back 3v3. You know, it's probably going to be a 5 back versus 3. So it'd be interesting to see how teams do it. But I always think you should have different stature, shape, sizes in the forward line. Do you know, if everyone is kind of similar build, it's easier to defend. I remember we got caught in against Dublin in 15 where we didn't play Donaghy, and I think that we were all just a bit similar and we were too easy to find out. So I would definitely say that any of those fellas, if they're good enough and they have good hands, 100%, they're going to be important.
If you like, transitions are going to be way faster, so you need someone who can can win their own ball. So whether you don't need to be 6'5" to be a ball winner, we spoke so many times. One of my favourite aspects of Derek Hannaford is he's an incredible ball winner, and he's only a small fella. But I think you'll see plenty of teams exploring that option through the spring. And there's going to be one or two. It's going to work for one or two teams, and they could be a breakout opportunity. What it is, it's just, it brings a bit of variety back to the game. Because it was, you said it was all fucking samey. Everyone's training the same. Everyone's doing the same. All the players are kind of replicating each other. This creates opportunities for something different. So,
Paddy, this is coming in from Shane Manton. Will Dublin be able to compete with the lads who have left and apparently more to leave yet?
I don't know. Dublin will do well to get 15 by the time the National League starts, by the sounds of things.
It's hardly that bad, is it?
I would imagine there's going to be maybe a few more guys who are going to step away over the next couple of weeks. So it's going to be tough for Dublin. There's no two ways about it. What we had feared was going to happen, like there was an assumption maybe after 2023 that a lot of the guys would step away, they went back again in the hope of trying to win an All-Ireland last year and defend the title, and they were caught out by Galway, they weren't good enough. But definitely, Fenton is obviously an incredible loss, and it's kind of rare because normally when guys step away, that you can see they're maybe on the wane a little bit, or with Fenton, he's still probably top three players in the country. For me, still the best midfielder. So that's a massive loss. Some of the murmurings around other players are going to step away. It's going to be tough for Dublin. There's no way around that, unfortunately. So that's the challenge for Desi Farrell and for the players who are still there come January and for the 2025 season. But they are going to be up against it. There's no two ways about it.
Massively so. James,
I'd fear for Dublin, definitely. Like they're going to need to put in, they're going to put in a rebuild job, and I could see them coming back just as strong, definitely. But over the next year or two, there could be a bit of a wait, because like to lose those personalities from the dressing room is no joke, you know. Everyone's turning to those fellas for leadership, and the fact they're taking them out of the dressing room completely, not even out of the team. It is going to be a massive change. It'll take a bit of getting used to for them and the dressing room, I think.
You were very taken with James McCarthy, weren't you?
Yeah, top fella, James, weren't he? He's solid.
Yeah.
As a rock. He's granite, that fella.
He'd be great in that run.
But isn't that? That's your sport, really. You know, that's... It's the nature of it. The great success of Dublin or GM under that period was that he was able to kind of move washed up people like myself along and bring in younger guys, and the team could continue to win. That's so, so difficult to do, to regenerate teams and still not have a drop off and keep winning and keep winning and keep winning. But that can't, it's not sustainable forever. Dublin have had over a decade of being at the very, very top table. And now this is the period. So it's the reality is, if you're in Dublin or if you're in Kerry, the standard is the All-Ireland. That is success or failure. Did we win the All-Ireland or not? If we did, great. If we didn't, not, we don't care if we got to a semi or got to a final and lost by a point or two. If we didn't win it, that's a bad year. That's particularly what Dublin have gotten used to over the last decade or so, from supporters, from the players themselves, the expectation. That may have to be reset Because it's a massive shift in the depth and the quality and experience of the team. The way Desi Farrell, I think, will approach it, I would imagine, and for the players who are still there, is you've got to frame this as an opportunity. This has to happen. Dublin need to find a new team. There'll still be guys, like Conn is going to be there, Kieran Kilkenny, you know, there's still brilliant players there, but the depth and just know-how and quality is going to take a serious hit. So you've got to frame it. If you're a young guy in Dublin, you're 19 or 20 years of age, or you're pulling up trees in the club scene, what an opportunity for you now, because you're going to get games. The doors are open in defence, in midfield, up front, all over the pitch. But so that's the way you've got to frame it. But can Dublin win the All-Ireland without the players who've already left and the players who are going to leave before Christmas?
The boost
of the other teams
will get, yeah, when Fintan said he was going, like, I mean, that was, there's teams in Leinster now going like, this could be our chance to win a Leinster title.
Teams in Leinster, apart from Loud, maybe.
Nah, hold on, T. If you're Robbie Brennan and you're Brian Flanagan, new jobs in Meath, Kildare, Westmead, Jerry and Loud, It's an opportunity for everyone. You have to be honest. I mean, as a door, from talking to people from around the country, of course, you have to be honest. They see this. Here's a team who's had a shadow over the entire country for over a decade. They didn't win it every year, but they were a team everyone's looking at. And you've got this. What an opportunity this is.
I'm going to wait till January.
But they will. They
if
will.
Another
fill.
5 or 6 go, then I might give someone else.
But if we're hearing there's more to go. That's the thing. Like, obviously, we're not confirmed. We're not going to retire anyone either. But like, they will fill those positions. There's no doubt about it. Dublin will be back just as strong at some stage. You'd fear for the next season. That's it. Find your feet. Yeah, to really find your feet quickly is tough. That's it. They could do it. The fuckers have done it before, but like, it's just, it could be a tricky start for them.
Okay. Another fella who hasn't retired, but very similar age to Brian Fenton, Killian O'Connor, stepped away.
Yeah.
Stepped away for a year. He hasn't retired, but that's what we're hearing, that he stepped away at that age. That's a big deal. When you compare it to the new rules coming in, the fact that the Dubs are bleeding players, you're probably wondering why. Now, Killian's obviously had trouble with injuries since that Achilles injury in the semi-final of the league in 21. But last year, kicked a whopper of a point against Galway in the kind of final, kicked 4 in his first start in the All-Ireland series, seemed to not get any playing time when Aidan O'Shea was on the field at the same time, so maybe there was something going on there.
There must be something going on with him and McStay. Like, he wouldn't, if he was leaving, he'd retire, that's the first thing, because of his age. If he actually wanted to go, he'd retire. So he's taken a year out, but I know myself, because I stepped away when I was still, thought I could still play. Like, when you take yourself out of that level for a year, it's not that easy to just go back at 30, what'll it be, 34? If you take yourself
he's 32 now, I think, yeah.
If you take yourself out of intercounty training, out of that intensity for 12 months at that age, and then say, right, I'll go back, that you can't just do that.
Let's just
I tell you, that is a lot harder than you think.
You were there, and like, I know I didn't know you very well, but we had a conversation or two around that Christmas, and I know you were considering it before I started putting some envelopes your way to join us in the football pod.
Well, I was trying to get fit, but like, you're fit when you're in there.
But you did. But you were giving yourself a chance, weren't you? Because you stepped away before the All Ireland semi final against Tyrone.
Yeah. Though I wanted to give it another crack, but I couldn't. Like, but I, even for that, 12 months later, if I was to say what my body was like in terms of being an intercounty player that month versus 12 months later, there was a good contrast just from being completely away from the setup. Like, your body reacts differently when you're in your 30s. So that's why I think it's so strange that he stepped away. Like, he'd want to be doing some serious training over the next year on his own to get back to his level with Mayo.
Are we forgetting that Michael Murphy is doing this right now?
I think it'd be difficult for Michael Murphy. But I mean, he'll get there, but it'll be difficult. How long has Michael Murphy gone? 2 years.
It's
so hard. He's like, honestly, even the way the ball will move, I guarantee he'll be like, fuck it, this is quick. Do you know, because you're just gone out of that speed and intensity.
Are you happy you gave yourself a few months to give it a chance?
What's that?
Are you happy that you gave yourself a few months to think about it?
Well, I wasn't thinking about it. I was trying to get physically right. To stay in. Do you know, it's different to taking...
The best chance was to step away at that July.
I had to step away that July. But, like, I obviously wanted to get back to physically ready to go back in again in January or whatever. But couldn't. But that was different. That's different. That's injuries. I'm saying you take an inter-county player, 32 or 3, and you say, right, go with your club for a year and come back. I think it's very hard to come back at the same level because you're already kind of on the decrease. So I think you're almost accelerating that, but that's only my opinion.
Well, there's also, Jimmy, like, the mental side of it as well. Like, Kyle O'Connor has been the main man for Mayo since he was, what, 19? You know, so he's the top scorer in the championship history by a country. What an unbelievable player. Pain in our hole so many times. But
which is a real compliment.
Yeah, in a good way. And I've got to know Killian since finishing up. He's a great guy. Was I surprised with it? No, like, it's just... Conor McManus.
But are you not surprised that he's taken 12 months out?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of that. I don't know. And we're only speculating. So maybe he is finished. And he's kind of... That's what I don't think he's spoken about it really publicly since. We don't know the ins and outs of that. I'm sure Killian will probably allude to that at some point. For Mayo, I think he's a loss. I absolutely think he's a loss. We spoke with this last year when he was in and out of the team, and they're thinking the quality he has. It's not like Mayo have 10 absolute stone cold killers up front, because they don't. So here's one blue chip forward, and he's in and out of the team, and okay, your body is probably creaking a bit, and he's had injuries and things like that. But I would have always said, if I was involved in Mayo, you'd want him in your corner. Absolutely.
Especially with the new rules. Like, no one's going to run
out. Particularly with the new rules, he doesn't have to throw back as much. That was never a problem for him. He was always a brilliant defender for Mayo. But he's a scorer. He's in absolute... The stats back it up. Yeah. And I think all the games are going to be far more high scoring just by the nature of these rules. Could he play off... There's Aidan O'Shea inside himself and Ryan O'Donoghue, Tommy Conroy's speed. Imagine that 3-on-3. We didn't really get to see it. That's injuries may have been unfortunate, but for them, I think it negatively impacts their opportunities in 2025. But Killian's obviously made that decision. We don't know the ins and outs of it.
I'd be petty. That's the thing. I'm all about the dressing room, right? I think, like,
I'd be massive. He's unbelievable in the dressing room. Yeah.
I can't imagine anything but that. He must be so respected in there. He must have so much to say. He's been there. He's done it. He knows exactly what's going to happen if you do this, if you don't do that, if you don't do this. Like, the experience that he can pass on to fellas, to lose him from the dressing room almost for 12 months. Why? Why? If you don't want to go, if you don't want to retire, why take him out of that dressing room? I don't know. I think it does definitely affect Mayo and the... Yeah.
It's been a funny winter in Mayo. And just a point on that, Aidan O'Shea's honeymoon is next year, so he missed the first two league games. Tommy Conroy, my understanding is he's going to be injured for the first four or five league games for Mayo, definitely the first month or two of the season. Kieran Connor's obviously stepped away. James Carr has also left the panel in the last week alongside Paul Cahora and a clatter of others. So as many as Dublin are bleeding, it seems like Mayo at the exact same time are losing a couple of contenders. For
that is very Mayo, though, isn't it? Like, just as the Dubs go on the slide, Mayo.
So look, we have another football pod next week. We might touch on Derry losing Chrissy McCaig, and also...
Sorry, Chrissy McCaig, lads. Getting
a hold of Paddy Cally. We'll keep going now, or we can do it next week if you want.
No, we just hit another Fenton, a massive loss for Dublin, obviously. Killian O'Connor for Mayo. Chrissy McCaig, even longer career than Killian O'Connor, if I'm not mistaken. Would that be right? Many years to do with Derry.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Unbelievable defender. So pivotal from the Division 4 to Division 1 to All-Ireland semi-final journey. A lot of miles on the clock himself, as he said. Big loss for Derry. Like, that is outlandish career. Playing in the full back line.
That's your... And he's, you made your debut 07-08, did you?
Oh, 08 was my debut for Dublin, yeah. And I'm retired about 10 years now. So, unbelievable for Chrissy McCaig. He'll be, again, dressing room. On the pitch, huge. He was still their man marker, along with Conor McCluskey. But dressing room, that's a massive blow to Derry. Paddy Talley getting the job, friend of the pod. Kerry did a bomb them out of Kerry, and he's gone up to Derry. So,
what's the vibe on that, James? Pat Splann wrote today that the 2022 All-Ireland was won by Paddy Talley.
Wowzers. Pat giving credit to someone. Wow.
But yeah, I mean, I think they did that defensive system where they dropped Tadhg Morley into centre-back and left him hold, and they protected the middle. Talley, did he bring that in or not? I don't know. Even when we had Talley on the pod, he said that he was more of an offensive kind of football coach.
Yeah.
So I think he was labelled with being that defensive coach, maybe unfairly, but maybe it was because there was such an improvement in Kerry's defence. But he did do a great job. I know the players had a great time for him. He'll definitely be missed. But Keane O'Neill's gone in. Keane O'Neill's gone in, so there's a bit of a pressure there. I don't know how much of a coaching role he'd have had. They'd have maybe had to share it or split it or whatever.
Mm.
Like, these fellas are top, top level. They don't want to be sharing jobs. So I think he was in more of a performance role. So I'd say once that opportunity came, he wasn't saying no to it.
Yeah, I think we might get into that a little bit later on.
Derry is a fascinating watch this season.
Yeah.
They talk about rollercoaster stuff for 2024. So,
yeah,
we'll keep a close eye on that one.
Let's say that one for next week. The Football Pod, as always, is brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Club Championships and Ladies Football, where we have the final in about 13 days' time. We've got Kilcairn Clonburn up against Kilmacud Crokes in the All-Ireland Ladies Club Senior Final. In Camogie, we've got Truro Clonlara up against Sarsfields of Galway. Sarsfields, who have made 8 of the last 9 finals, up against Clare's first ever All-Ireland finalist in Truro Clonlara. So that's the Camogie All-Ireland Club Final. And then we've obviously got 2 provincial football finals this weekend. As we mentioned, the Munster Club Football Final, Lochmore Castellini up against Dr. Crokes. Prediction, James O'Donoghue?
Dr. Crokes.
Paddy?
Crokes.
Okay, I'll be covering it for Off the Ball, so I'm not going to predict anything.
I have to say impartial.
Ulster.
Well, you've Ulster already said Cool are going to win the All-Ireland, so
against Aaron.
You can't claim impartiality now.
Is Rory
he let it out.
Are they going to shut down Rory Canavan and Darragh Canavan this weekend, Kilcoo? Are they going to have a trick or two up their sleeve?
Me, I think Kilcoo will win that.
Staying safe, James, are you?
No, I think the Kilcoo are strong favourites, but in this competition, you just cannot call a thing.
It'll be tight. We always say, what's the last 10 minutes? It's going to come down to the last 10.
10 minutes to go. If there's a point or two in it, whoever shows the biggest stomach for it, you know, and in fairness, those Aragall boys, they have some quality up front.
Yeah, they do.
I'd like to see if
Rory brings that dummy solo.
And Petey Hart. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's like scores there.
I'd like to see them do it, but I think Kilcoo might have a little bit too much.
If it was to follow the flow of the All Ireland Hurling Club Championship, which has Lochray of Galway, Nafina of Dublin, Sarsfields of Cork, and Sloch Neil of Derry, it would be a Lochmore Castellini, Errol Kieran win this weekend, and a fully open All Ireland club team.
Could happen. It could happen.
I'm going to call it. That's going to happen. There, I've nailed my
goal. It's for the underdogs.
It's fully open anyway.
James, you have your Waterford jersey on. Is it a football jersey or a hurling jersey?
What was that second word?
Back jersey.
This is football only, baby.
Well, where did it come from? It's a nice one.
It is a nice one.
Yeah.
It's from Championship 2013.
Back in the day when the number 4 marked the number 13.
Mm.
As it should be.
As it should be. I had to go over to him on the bench and get it off him. He was whipped. No, it is a nice jersey, isn't it?
It's a gorgeous
Even though every
jersey.
time I wear a jersey on this pod, I get requests to send the jersey on.
Yeah, well,
So
you
no
won't be
one's
sending that
getting
one on.
this.
And you do
Leave that
realize
one, Jimmy. Leave
I'm going
that.
straight to Sports File and I'm going to find out who was marking you that day wearing number four. All
Roasted,
right. I don't think there was any sports file done with that game.
Paddy
Munster
Andrews.
quarter final 2013.
James O'Donoghue, I enjoyed that one as always. Thanks for joining us on the Football Pod. Thanks everybody for tuning in and sending in all those great questions earlier on. We're back next Monday. And then later that week, we'll have our final very special episode of the Football Pod Club. If you've missed them already, go check out the Cliffords from earlier this year. You'll also get Aidan O'Shea in conversation with the boys the night before the All-Ireland Football Final. We've had Aidan Forker and Conor Turbitt of Armagh. We've had James McCarthy of Dublin just after he retired. And Conor McManus and Rory Beggan last week up in Monaghan. As James mentioned, quite a trip for him while Storm Bert was raging around the country. I don't know how you got home through Abbey Field, by the way, because it was totally flooded after that. So, well done.
Things you do for this pod, Jimmy. You are
total another commitment.
Boys,
dedication.
It's a new world. We'll be
a brave new world. A brave new world.
Hallelujah.
Well done.
Good night, friends. Good night.
Cheers, boys.